What's up? Good evening. Welcome. You are listening to Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. And we have got a very, very, very exciting show lined up for you today. In fact, this show I am very excited about. I think this may be the best show that we've had yet. With us today, our guest on the show is going to be Jeff, who is a founding member, and one could argue the founding voice of the Dome Patrol podcast itself. So I want to jump right into it and give a big Taking the Over welcome to my guest, Jeff. Jeff, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, it's going great. I love this show. This is one of my favorite shows on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network.
Well, good. This is one of my favorite shows on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, too.
It's my second favorite show.
Oh, it's your second favorite show? Yeah. Look, I got to tell you, I mean, this has been a long time coming, getting you and I together in this type of environment. And, you know, obviously, I'm super, super grateful that you guys decided to take my show on and add it to the network. One of the things that's just been super amazing and humbling and fun is to see the listenership and to see the numbers. And that would not have been possible if I did not join an established network such as the Dome Patrol United Network. Because you guys have been doing this for, what, 10 years now?
Is that since correct? 2010, yeah. We started after the Super Bowl. We should have started the year of the Super Bowl. Kind of missed an opportunity there.
Yeah. The Super Bowl inspired, right. Inspired you to put a show together.
That's maybe good. Stop doing the podcast. Maybe that's why we can't win another one.
Oh, I think we'll be okay this year.
I can't. My whole thing was that, you know, almost maybe like we do the podcast until we win another Super Bowl. And when we win another Super Bowl, shut the lights off, walk away like breeze. But I don't know that we'll be able to do that either.
Yeah. Well,
it's too fun. You know,
it is fun. Podcasting is fun. Podcasting is addictive. I got to tell you, I did these last 2 weeks or so. I've been trying to engage more on Saints Twitter. I've been trying to follow more people. I've been trying to listen to other shows that are out there.
Yeah, like other Saints podcasts?
Other Saints podcasts, other kind of independent sports wagering. Not professional guys okay. Kind of like me. And I feel that much better about my show. I feel that much better about the product that we have here.
I agree. I try to listen to other... You know, honestly, like, because that's how... A little bit about the Dome Patrol podcast, right? So, if I may.
Yes, please do.
The first merge, if you look at it that way, was with the UK Saints podcast, right? Mm-hmm. Those guys, they listened to our show. They loved it. They created their own podcast. And then we would just kind of started talking on Twitter. And, you know, me and Jason and everybody would give them a listen, and we actually enjoyed their show so much that we're like, let's do a crossover show for this season kickoff. Fast forward a couple of years, we came to this during the off season. We're like, why don't, instead of having people subscribe to two feeds, what if we went more of a network approach and we have one feed where you can get both podcasts, right? So yeah. Then, you know, something new. So try and be a little disruptive to the podcast market. And really, we started thinking about, like, so what other Saints podcasts are out there that we like that kind of fit the Dome Patrol personality, brand, if you will? And the BS and Beer Dave Romero was really the only other one. Like, the rest, every other Saints podcast that we had listened to. And I know there's more now.
Dave's podcast is outstanding. Like, yeah. Dave's podcast is... It's better analysis than you're going to get
from the Dome Patrol. Absolutely.
Well,
that's why we wanted them.
I was going to say WWL or venue.
Well, no, everybody. Right.
Dave's podcast is like the grown up. like we're going to, you know, like the kiddie table's over there and the grown ups are talking now about football.
Yeah. We're the beer podcast, you know?
Yeah,
And it's funny that their name is BS and Beer. They're more the cigars and snifters of fine, you know, Cavassier. Well,
they do a good something. Job. They do a really good job. And that one's
definitely.
That one's fun to listen to. You know, look, I can't critique my own show. I can just say we're a few weeks in. The listener numbers that I'm seeing are beyond.
They're up there with all the other episodes. You know,
well, they're beyond my wildest dreams.
Well, right, because we have the Saint stuff, the BS and Beer, Dome Patrol, and that's kind of like Saints.
Right.
Yours is a little, and again, if you think of the Dome Patrol Network, kind of almost like a Netflix of podcasts where, mm-hmm. you know, our goal is to have multiple variety of shows. And each listener you subscribe and you listen to the ones that you like, you don't have to, you're not required to listen to everything. Yours is the first that really goes in a different direction. I mean, if you don't count the Pelicans or Survivor.
Right. Like that.
But with the gambling aspect, when you came to the table and said, hey, what if we did a show that was gambling? Because you've been on the Dome Patrol several times.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I go way back for mm-hmm. those of you who don't know.
We'll get into that.
Right. Yeah, and it was a fan. It was like, that's a great idea because you know gambling. I know nothing about gambling. So then, the response was like, look, we'd love to do a gambling show, but like, you're going to have to do it. You don't want me doing that.
Unfortunately, I have years of experience of gambling degeneracy slid right into the role.
But you're also a natural performer. You've got the voice, you've got the personality, you've got the storytelling ability. You're a natural, and I really do believe that's why, like you said, that we introduced you to our audience,
right?
And the audience clearly loves what they're listening to. They love you because they continue to listen to the show. The statistics show that.
What's funny, I think about, you know, I first started coming on the Dome Patrol podcast a long time, like probably like year one or year two as a guest. And I'm sober now. I live an alcohol free lifestyle, I should say, I live an alcohol free lifestyle, which is different from if you've listened and heard me on the show in the past. I think my favorite sound drop is the when it's time to play the game,
Pick'ems,
and me trying to sing the Triple H song blitzed out of my mind. Favorite. Is pretty good.
And, you know, and when I edit, because that's the one I use.
Hopefully that will be my enduring legacy.
Yep.
You know, just real quick, last week went 3-5. And that's going to bring me to 32-19 overall, which is right about 60%. And that's close to top tier level. You typically, a lot of your professional guys that are selling picks are running 60%. So I'm pretty proud of my record overall. And we'll, as we go through this week's games, we'll talk about a little bit of just a catastrophically crazy week last week. You know, as we've mentioned before, you and I have quite a history of Saints fans. We've known each other for a long time. We went to college together. I've told the Bobby Hebert story in the past on the show years and years and years. Probably it's been long 9 years since I've told the Bobby Hebert story. But I'm willing to tell it again because really there's resolution that I want to get with the Bobby Hebert story. Do you think that's something we should even get into?
Absolutely. Anytime we can talk about Bobby Hebert, we should.
All right. Okay, you know, so tell the Bobby Hebert story.
There's nothing sacred on our show, so I'm no stranger to offensive material.
Right. You were there.
This is offensive.
You were there, correct?
If I was, it's vague. It's a hazy memory.
Okay.
From our youth.
All right. So
maybe like you, we need some clarification.
Yes. Yeah, so the Bobby Hebert story goes like this. Now, when I was a young man and a young Saints fan, a very young Saints fan, like a child, you know, Bobby Hebert was the quarterback of the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby Hebert left. It was really like the first instance in the professional era of a player holding out from his contract.
That's right.
Which was, that did not sit well with me. And he sat out right when the Saints were just beginning to come into success. It was the Dome Patrol years. You know, Ricky Jackson, Vaughn Johnson, Sam Mills, Pat Swilling.
A few playoff appearances behind us.
Yeah. And at that point, Bobby goes, nope, I'm holding out. Right? And then it wasn't so much that he held out, is that he left and then went directly to the most hated rival in the Atlanta Falcons. Fuck the Falcons. And it's Falcon
Hate Week. It's Falcon Hate Week.
It's Falcon Hate Week. So this is a timely story. Hebert goes to the Falcons. And that, I mean, that just, that never, ever, number one, just when I was a child, I was angry because I was upset because I was a child and the Saints were my favorite team and Bobby Hebert left. And then as I got older and began to understand how free agency worked and how holdouts worked, I became angry. And so right about the time of this anger was, let's go with right about the turn of the century, right?
Yeah.
Right as we're getting into the 2000s. And Bobby Hebert shares an alma mater with us. Bobby Hebert went to the same university that we did. And our college team was having some success, and they were advancing pretty deep into the 1AA playoffs. And lo and behold, look who starts popping up on the sidelines every week, right? Fucking Bobby Hebert. Bobby Hebert comes out of nowhere.
Had like railing seats, like where we watched the game. So we were within shouting distance.
Yeah. You could get down to the railing. We were in sections that were reserved for people that were in special groups. And if you were
you
in
these special week?
Yeah. Groups that like your mandatory camping trips and stuff, right. and these group seating, and so you could get right up to the railing and right to the sideline. And let's be honest, like that stadium was never full. You know, no one was ever jockeying for seats. So, Bobby Hebert starts showing up. One could say a bandwagon fan. I'd never seen him before,
right? Or you know, since,
right? And as we've documented in the past, I did not always live an alcohol-free lifestyle. It was quite the little booze pup back in the day, and was not uncommon for me to get very, very inebriated on Saturdays prior to football games. And on
we introduced the club tailgating to that university.
We remember? Took it to another level.
They in fact, in later quick interlude there, they later created a rule that clubs like ours would not be allowed to tailgate on campus, so we had to start tailgating across the street.
In my front yard. Our front yard. We lived there together. And we had a 12-foot python that people were wearing around their neck. It's a big 60-pound snake. I remember, like and then, following Monday, the police knock on their door, like, "Yeah, we got a report of a snake here."
The honk if you're horny sign, and then we get a call from the advisor.
There's a lot of stories there. We had a lot of fun there.
Yeah,
but I digress. So we're tailgating, we're drinking. I believe we were grilling some chicken wings,
of course,
and drummies.
Yes, as is tradition.
And for some reason, I smuggled some into the game, like in my pocket. So, prior to going into the stadium, I filled my pockets with like greasy. I think they've been like marinated in Italian dressing.
That was grill. Delaware's special sauce.
Yeah. So I've got pockets. I've got pockets full of drummies to get me through the game. And then we see Bobby Hebert. Now I'm going to pause here. We see Bobby Hebert, and we said a lot of things about Bobby Hebert. I'm not trying to disparage Bobby Hebert, okay? I think that Bobby Hebert has lived a very successful life. The man has been a professional quarterback of a professional team. Lord knows he has had a lot more success in life than I have up to this point. So I'm not trying to shit on Bobby Hebert. More so than anything, we want to set the record straight. And if we can get Saints Twitter involved, if we can get Bobby involved, I'd like to confirm one specific detail about this story as we move forward. But again, was very angry with Hebert at the time.
At the
given
time.
That I saw him to be a turncoat, a Benedict Arnold. He had turned on the Saints.
After going 12-4.
Yes.
That year before.
What would have been the peak of our success, holds out, the first holdout in the history of this era of free agency. Right. He basically invented the holdout.
Yeah. Right. We didn't understand it. We were young.
No, we didn't understand it, but I came to understand it later and was understanding it on this day because I began yelling and berating and screaming at Bobby Hebert from the railing, probably only a good 20 feet away from where he was at.
Easily.
Mm-hmm. And I took out one of those chicken wings, one of those drummies, and I overhand threw the drummy.
I remember this story. All of a sudden, it's all clear.
Yeah, you were there. You were there. Threw the chicken wing at Bobby Hebert.
I probably tried to be like, no, don't.
Yeah, most people were trying to talk me out of everything back then.
Everyone in the stands.
I hit him with the... Now, here's what's up for debate. Did I hit him with the chicken wing or not?
That's what we don't know.
I believe, as you know, over 20 years, stories morph and change. I believe I hit him with the chicken wing.
I mean,
I believe that I made contact. I threw a chicken wing at Bobby Hebert in a drunken rage from 20 feet away and hit him while he was on the sideline at a Northwestern football game. Yeah.
So, quick question. Do you recall if he turned and looked in your, like, the general direction from maybe where something just hit me? Where did it come from? Do you remember any of that?
Yeah, I think I remember him turning around and looking.
Right.
And we were just like, boo.
Constant, yeah. You're right, the constant yeah. insults.
Yeah. We were not saying kind things to Mr. Hebert. Now, that being said, I mean Bobby Hebert no ill will today, right?
Right.
I have seen him in the last couple of years at the Silver Slipper when he was doing his remote broadcast from there on Monday nights. The man keeps himself in fantastic shape.
You did not throw chicken wings.
I didn't throw chicken wings at him when I was 40 and I saw him. No.
Okay.
Did
he have a plate of chicken wings?
No.
I wonder if he's like shell shocked. He's got PTSD to where he can't be around chicken.
You think chicken wings really upset him now?
Well, that would be an indication that it hit him.
Now, here's the other problem. So what I'd like to do is I would like maybe Saints Twitter or somebody to get involved if we could reach out to Mr. Hebert and get him to confirm if he recalls getting pelted with a chicken wing while standing on the sidelines of a college football game right around the turn of the century. Yeah.
1998, 1999.
Sometime in there.
Yeah.
And now the possibility does also exist. I would say there's probably about a 90% probability that Bobby Hebert was piss-ass drunk too. Right?
Chicken gate will never be solved.
Yeah, so Bobby Hebert might not have an accurate recollection either.
This is true. Now, in case for those of you who don't know, it is at Bobby Hebert 3.
Mm-hmm. And I'm at Bobby Hebert taking the over.
Right. And Gunn is at taking the over. So tag him. I agree. Like, ask Bobby if he remembers being on, like you said, being on the sideline during his alma mater. I mean, tell him it was his alma mater football game. Turning of the century,
correct?
Turn of the century. He will be so confused he won't even understand the question.
My
prediction, he's either going to be too drunk or he's too old to understand the question.
Let me say another kind thing about Bobby Hebert, Mr. Hebert. Okay. Oh. We wouldn't have even been upset about him leaving the team in such a fashion if we didn't think he was a good quarterback.
That's right.
If we thought Bobby Hebert sucked and he abandoned the Saints in that fashion, we wouldn't even be upset. We'd be like, good riddance. Just the simple fact that we were that bothered.
That's how much we loved him. We felt rejected. We felt betrayed. We were the jilted ex-lover, right? I mean,
for years.
Yeah.
Years later, I was so upset that I was compelled to drunkenly throw a chicken wing at him. And I would not have been that way if he was not a good quarterback. So,
right.
Bobby, that is the not trying to throw down a gauntlet and challenge you. In fact, I would like to formally extend an invite to Bobby Hebert to come on Taking the Over. Maybe we can we can solve and resolve Chicken Gate Wing once and for all. And that's really going to be the goal that I have for this week. Yep, Jeff, we're definitely off to the best show yet. So don't worry. You're going to get that.
Is this good, a gambling show?
Yeah, you're going to get some of that good 32 and 19 advice that you all tune in for week after week here on Taking the Over. And, you know, we can go ahead and get started with that now. Jeff, I think it is fair to assume that you are a novice gambler.
I am not a gambler at all.
Not a gambler at all.
You have got probably the least informed guest you've ever had.
No, that happens. That yeah. seems to happen a lot on this show. That's what we've been doing is we've been bringing
I barely in. Understand spreads.
No. Okay. I'll walk you through
it. I'll tell you what I have by listening to your show.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned a lot more than I knew before. Mm-hmm. I understand the concept of units. You explained that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I understand kind of like when you say like it's plus 275 or like I think last week we talked about golf, you know, it's not, if you bet 100 you get this much or something like that. I understand. I understand prop bets.
Right.
And I still am not 100% on what a parlay is.
Okay. We can walk you through parlays. And there's a new concept that I'm going to introduce to the beginners today called buying it down. You're going to hear me say buy it down later what all that means. But
can we curse on this show?
What's that?
Can we curse on this show?
Yes, absolutely. We curse a lot on this show. Like I said, yeah, this is the show is just for having fun, hanging out, listening to some good tunes, and talking shit, and then getting into gambling. I will say this. I did pick four golfers for you to put money on last week to win the Masters, and one of them won the Masters. And that's something to be proud of. Dustin Johnson came through. And that paid plus 850. If anybody took my advice on that and placed those four bets, you came out well ahead just by the Dustin Johnson bet hitting. Now, getting into this week, we are going to start with the Thursday night game because the Thursday night game is going to be a whole lot of fun. Maybe one of the better games of this week. And this show is going to get published on Wednesday evening. So you will have time if you're tracking my bets and want to play along with me to get this in. Arizona is going to be on the road taking on Seattle. Now, Seattle is a 3-point favorite in this game. Okay. The over-under on this game is 57.5. Now, Arizona had one of the most gut-wrenching, soul-crushing bad beats in the history of bad beats last weekend with that Hail Mary play against the Buffalo Bills. I had loaded up big time on the Bills last week. I watched that 20-second score by Stephon Diggs. I figured things were over. I looked back at the screen a couple minutes later and saw the Hail Mary play in real time, and to be honest with you, I'm not even upset. I'm not even angry. To lose in that fashion didn't even piss me off. That was such an incredible, incredible thing. Now, what got to a lot of gamblers, Jeff, is that Arizona was giving 2.5 points, and once they scored that last second Hail Mary touchdown, they were up by two. If they had kicked the extra point, they would have covered, but instead of kicking the extra point, they kneeled, and so people that had Arizona minus 2.5 lost. Isn't that crazy?
By a decision, a coaching decision.
Yeah. We're just going to kneel the ball down rather than even attempt to kick an extra point. So that was big. I had Buffalo money line. It didn't matter. Once they lost, they lost. But it was crushing. It kind of it kind of set the dominoes in motion for me to have a pretty bad weekend. Even though I only had a 3-5 record, things were a little bit worse financially. I had a little bit of a gambling.
A lot of games, a lot of teams did things that are out of character from what we would expect.
Yeah. Right? You had some
one of those weeks in the NFL where everything went differently.
You had some interesting stuff happen. You know, Seattle, who's the other part of this Thursday night game, they went and lost to the Rams. They had a lot of turnovers. Russell Wilson, who came out the blocks as an MVP candidate this year, has not been doing as well. So getting back to this Thursday night game, Arizona Cardinals on the road taking on Seattle. Jeff, what are your thoughts on Arizona-Seattle this week?
What'd you say the spread was on that one?
It's 3 and Seattle's a 3-point favorite.
Seattle minus 3.
Yep.
I tell you, well, first of all, I'm not going to be like Chunk and ruin the show. I'm taking the over.
Please fucking don't. Yeah.
Actually, no, you know what? I learned from you. I think 57.5 is a little high. I'm just going to stay away from that.
Okay.
I'm not even going to play with it. As for the pick, I am going to take Arizona because I don't respect Seattle's defense.
That's a good pick. In fact, if I were to get involved with this game and the spread, I would agree with you. Now, one of the things that separates me from a professional Vegas analyst is I do not feel obligated to take every game. I'm only going to take the games that I feel comfortable about. And in fact, this week, I'm going to double down on trying to be disciplined, because even though I gave out a bunch of specific picks on the pod, my picks outside the pod was going nuts this week. I had a lot of stuff going all over the place this week. It was almost too much to keep track of. And to be quite honest with you, I had a gambling hangover by Monday. I didn't even want to look at Monday Night Football. I was so exhausted from all of it. I'm going to stay away from Arizona, Seattle. If you put a gun to my head, I think I'd take Zona plus 3. However, I do like the over here. I like 57.5.
Oh, really?
These two teams have already played once this year. They scored in excess of 60, and I don't see that being any different. I think these two teams are going to combine for well over 60 points. And so one of my definite plays of the week is to take the over on the Thursday night game, if you can get that in hand before Thursday night. Early Sunday games. Philadelphia is going to be on the road taking on Cleveland. Cleveland is a 3.5-point favorite. The over-under on this game is 45.5. In fact, that has jumped significantly just since yesterday. That's already up to 47. Mm-hmm. Over-under has jumped to 47 on this game, but remains 3.5 to Cleveland. Jeff, what are your thoughts on Philadelphia taking on Cleveland on the road?
Is Philadelphia kind of starting to put things back together, or am I thinking of...
No, they lost to the Falcons. New York Giants this week.
Okay.
Carson Wentz has really moved backwards as a quarterback. Cleveland, it's so hard to say. I mean, these two teams are, to me, these two teams are completely uninspiring. I think these are two quarterbacks that are all hype. I don't think there's any legitimacy here. And Philadelphia is backsliding quite a bit.
So, yeah. Now, that could be, I mean, if we were talking about atrocious defenses, the question is, can the offenses score? And if these stats are right, both, like, Cleveland is averaging like 21 points a game. Philadelphia is not even averaging 20 points a game, but they're both letting up over 25 points a game, or around 25. So that over is tough if you trust their offenses to actually do anything.
Well, the other challenge here, and you saw it with Cleveland last week, playing at home against Houston, the final on that game was 10-7. Because and the start of that game was delayed 30 minutes due to weather. So you've getting into the time of the year up in the Midwest and these cold weather cities like Cleveland, where the weather can really make a significant impact on the points scored, the approach the teams take. You know, Cleveland did get Nick Chubb back last week, and he did have a good game. This was another almost historically bad beat game, in that Cleveland was up 10-7, and they had a chance to put another touchdown on the board right there at the very, very end of the game, because Cleveland was a 3.5-point favorite where most people purchased the game at. And Nick Chubb, instead of getting into the end zone for a nothing garbage time touchdown that would have cleared the spread, he ran out of bounds at the 1-yard line. And severely influenced the outcome, the gambling outcome for a lot of people.
Ooh, a lot of players are doing this kind of stuff, aren't they?
It's a lot of guys that come from Georgia that do it too. That's a whole conspiracy theory that we could go down the rabbit hole with. I don't know. I mean, I think Cleveland can, in this weather, you know, I think Cleveland can control it via the run. I'm staying away here. There's other games that I have a much stronger read on that I'm gonna fool with. But I would not
feel comfortable placing a bet on that. They're just too, like, on the Dome Patrol show, you know, this would fall under the shitty game of the week category, and it's just a scary game to put money on in any direction. Yep.
Absolutely. Detroit and Carolina is currently not on the betting boards. There's too much uncertainty still over the injury status of Teddy Two Gloves. So that game is not even up for discussion right now. The next game that we would jump ahead to would be the New England Patriots on the road taking on the Houston Texans. Right? New England comes in as a 2.5-point favorite on the road to take on Houston, and the over under on this game is 48. Jess, what's your thoughts on
New England? I'm taking New England. I mean, well, is Cam Newton, what's his status?
He's still mentally ill.
Well,
he's healthy. He's physically healthy. He's not mentally healthy, but he's coming off a victory over the Baltimore Ravens in a monsoon. Where they came in as 7-point dogs and also just completely disrupted and destroyed my gambling weekend last week.
Yeah.
I was heavily invested in Baltimore.
Yeah, this is New England. Houston is such a shitty team. It's a shitty organization. They're in turmoil. They're in a tailspin. I would have to... Houston, there's no way New England doesn't cover this game.
All right.
That's you heard my it, lock you heard of the week. There.
That's Jeff's lock of the week. And I'm gonna let him have that lock of the week. I'm staying away from that
one. I like how you put your guest in that position. Like,
that's why I have guests for all these games that I don't pick. Pittsburgh on the road taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Pittsburgh is a 10-point favorite coming into this game. The over under on this game is 47.5. Jacksonville thinks they found a new quarterback solution in Jake Luton. Pittsburgh is still undefeated, although they have not covered here the last couple of weeks. What are your thoughts on Pittsburgh Jacksonville?
So there's usually a deal where you're supposed to take the home dog, right?
Yes, that's a very good point. And in fact, thank you for saying that. That brought me straight into something I want to talk about this week. You know, you can sports gamble, kind of like, you know, you can play blackjack a certain way. Mm. You know, there's a way to play blackjack, and if you have the discipline and you do it a certain way, you get your best odds for return. And sports gambling is no different. I listened to some professionals talk in the wake of New England defeating Baltimore on Sunday night, despite the fact that New England was a 7-point home dog, and they were just like, look, 7-point home dog, why would you bet with a 7-point home, like,
right?
No home team should be a 7-point dog. And yeah, that's actually that's a pretty healthy, pretty informed way of looking at it. I would feel much more comfortable taking Jacksonville in 10 points than taking Pittsburgh to win by 10 on the road. Jacksonville is I feel bad for them because they've not played as poorly as their record indicates. You know, in week one, right, they defeated Indianapolis, and then things have just kind of fallen apart since.
That's what I'm wondering about Jacksonville is that, yeah, if you just look at their record, you would almost easily take, and the Steelers record, you'd be like, oh shit, the Steelers are going to win by 30.
Right.
But the Steelers themselves, so they have, how many games they played? 9, you say? 100-point differential. Now, okay, this is interesting. So the Steelers average, you know, on average, are winning by 11 points. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that there's some games that are, you know, 1 point. There's some games that are blowouts. But it's very interesting that they're giving Jacksonville 10 when the average of Pittsburgh is 11. Mm-hmm. So there is a part of me that's tempted to take Pittsburgh because I'm imagining, what's it pay, right? It's got
to
pay.
You want
more.
This one to be our Dome Patrol challenge of the week, where you take one team and I take the other?
Maybe so. And okay. What does does betting Pittsburgh pay more than betting Jacksonville?
No, if you utilize the point spread, they're both going to be like -110. So there's about a 10% vig associated with either team that you take. But no, as long as the point spread is involved, it's going to work out the same. If you just went money line without the point spread, well, then obviously, you know, the things.
Oh, but Dumbo, I wouldn't take Jacksonville straight up.
Jacksonville straight up would pay quite well if they were. Yeah.
I'll put a dollar on that.
Right.
And I'll win $10 million.
There you go. Jacksonville straight up would pay quite well.
So the -110 means if I bet $10,
you'll make $9.
I'll make 90, $9 or something. 90, okay.
$9.90. Yeah.
So yeah, like I would. You know what? Just for shits and giggles, I will Dome Patrol challenge of the week. I'll take Pittsburgh.
Okay.
-10.
All right. And I'll take Jacksonville +10.
All right. And what are we betting? $1, $10?
Bragging rights.
Okay.
I'm not afraid to bet money, but let's.
We could do a stake bet. You know.
We could do a stake bet. Right?
That's what we do on the Dome Patrol. Nobody ever
bet whatever you want. You know me. I'm not afraid to bet.
we'll bet a beverage. Or well, no, you're alcohol free.
Yeah.
A Pepsi.
Okay, right. Bet a joint or something.
Right. I prefer the edibles.
Well, yes.
So we'll,
did you hear the good news about my homeland of Mississippi?
I did. I'm hoping Louisiana. Well, Louisiana is already on the plan.
Louisiana has a horrible medical policy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We need to join some advocacy group or something.
Oh.
Educate the voting public.
Yes, we should. All right. So, the next game is going to be Cincinnati. I really like this game. Cincinnati on the road.
Oh, wait. What's the over-under for Pittsburgh-Jacksonville?
47.5.
Pittsburgh would have to score all those by themselves.
Jacksonville's put up some points this year.
Yeah, they have, actually. You know what?
You know the name of the show?
I'm taking the over.
There you go. Oh, I'm so proud of you, man. This is good. All right. Yes. Yeah, now it's a party. It's a party.
I got money to throw around.
Hey, and you know that game that Chunk took the over on last week? Guess what fucking happened?
He won?
It went over. It went over.
There he is.
Yep. Yeah, he took the under. It went over.
That's right.
Do you know the reason why we don't take the under on this show?
Why?
Because it's boring as fuck to watch two teams try not to score. Like, you don't want to root against scoring. You want to root for scoring. You want to for big plays. You don't want to be like, oh, yay, he dropped the pass.
Sean Payton and Drew Brees created an NFL where offense, and the NFL has embraced this and shit all over the Saints for it, but it really is. It comes down to the Saints are the ones who created this high-flying. You know, the Rams did it in 2000, whatever, greatest show on turf. But the Saints really made it mainstream.
They refined it.
To where the NFL now wants more. They now rule in favor of offenses in order to make sure it happens.
Right. No, it's definitely become an offensive game, and the rules we're seeing are definitely playing to the advantage of that.
So what's Cincinnati. My win if I bet a unit on the over? Do I just win the unit?
Yep. Okay. So if you bet $20, you're going to win like 19, usually about, because usually most overs are going to be paying negative 110, or some will even pay even, but... So what you can do is that. you can bet like 22 to win 20 is typically what you would do there if you were just trying to make sure that you insured a 20
return. So negative 110 means you're going to get less than what you put down.
Slightly less, right.
Okay.
10% less.
Plus 110 would be the same in the other direction.
If you bet 20, you'd win 22.
Is there like a negative 10, or does it start with like 100?
It always starts with 100.
Why?
Just gambling parlance. Just like why horsepower. I don't know. Why is a quarter pounder a quarter pounder?
Okay. Well, it's supposed to be a quarter of a pound of beef on your...
Right. Why are we using pounds, though? Why didn't we just start with some other measure?
Like, why do we call it a pound? Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, and these help me because, like,
if these are good to know,
if I'm willing to just accept a general thing, if you're telling me that's what we just accept and there's no rhyme or reason behind it.
Yeah.
But if there is a rhyme or reason,
well, and the unit of measurement, you know, the easier way to look at it's 100. So
okay. Rather than one.
Yeah. Or 10. I mean, ones and tens, because you're just dropping zeros, make it easy to
just moving a decimal. Yeah.
Okay. You're just moving decimals, and then you can also show them in fractional form, and then you can also show them in percentage form too.
Okay. So it's minus one. Yeah, okay. Let's go.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
It does. I just can't
argue. I'm really excited to get to this next game.
Okay.
Because it's good old Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Burrows on the road taking on the football team of Washington. And this is a big play this week for me. Washington is a 1.5-point favorite. The over-under on this game is 46.5. I'm not as concerned with that. But I am all about Cincinnati winning this game against Washington.
Me too.
I'm all about Cincinnati money line to win this game, and this actually is going to tie into that
money line. What's that mean?
Yep. All right. The difference here is, so I've already expressed to you that I want to bet on Cincinnati, right?
Yes.
Now, if I were to, I could at this point take the points. I could take Cincinnati plus 1.5.
Right.
1.5 points don't do a whole lot for me. If it was 2.5, I would approach it differently, right? So instead, but if I took the points, I would get minus 110 odds.
Okay.
Instead, I'm going to take Cincinnati money line, which is just Cincinnati to straight up win.
Okay.
I don't want the help of that 1.5. Okay. But my odds improve. My odds improve to plus 105.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Why?
Yes. Because they're the underdog. Because okay. They're a 1.5-point underdog.
So when you get a low underdog, like, so they're an underdog, but it's only like 1.5 points.
Right.
Usually the money line is going to pay better if you're taking the.
Correct. The or underdog. if it's a huge, let's say I'm going to.
It's like a gimme.
Let me use an example of who's a big favorite this week. Kansas City's a 7-point favorite, right? If you took Las Vegas, they're paying plus 260 right now. If you took Kansas City, they're paying minus 320. Meaning, if you wanted to win $100 betting on Kansas City straight up money line, you'd have to bet $320.
Okay, you'd put 320 at stake.
To win 100.
So you're better
betting Kansas City without the points
and just getting your minus 110.
Correct. Now, here's where it comes back to
points, whatever. Yeah.
I can give you a perfect example of where it comes back to bite you on the ass. This past weekend with Buffalo versus Arizona, right?
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo was getting 2.5 points. And I said, fuck that. I just want Buffalo to win money line. How many points did Buffalo lose by? Two.
2 points, which means...
I would have won the bet.
If you'd have taken the 2.5.
Arizona taking the knee on that extra point would have helped me tremendously, and I would have cleared that bet if I had taken the 2.5 points instead of just going with the money line straight up victory.
So, because all right, so you took Buffalo straight up, which mm-hmm. so you lost the game. I mean, you correct. Lost that.
Yep.
Whereas if now, but what was it going to pay you? What was it, minus or plus?
They were probably like plus 110. Plus
so you would have been plus
one. I had a, yeah, they were somewhere around plus 120, and I had it. I had it. You know me. I'm pretty degenerate, when it comes to yeah. these things. I had it. It was tied to like three or four other bets, like three or four other tickets that I was holding.
Yeah. Okay. But then, general, this was kind of a similar situation where the spread was low enough that you were tempted by the money line.
Yeah, because I thought Buffalo was going to win straight up.
Right.
And I mean, and
which
I
was, they would have.
I was correct until the last second of the game.
Right, right. So because then you didn't take the spread, you could have, Buffalo was going to win, you take the spread, it's the safer bet.
Right.
In that situation. Which
and in that situation, it would have paid off because they only lost by two and the spread was 2.5. Right.
So you would have got your $19 or whatever.
I had it.
Or if you bet 100. Into a
few other things that were... that.
Well,
live and learn.
Complicated, right? Okay. Yeah. So in this case, taking Cincinnati money line, I now that I understand that, mm-hmm. I would 100%
put yeah, my $20 bet is going to pay $21.
$20 bet pays 21.
Uh-huh. Money if line. You just did money.
Where could someone like me place that bet?
Well, let's see. You live in central Louisiana. Your best bet would be to either start driving north towards Arkansas, which I don't recommend, or the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
Oh, like I cannot do this online.
There are online betting sites, but they are geographically locked.
Okay, so it's inaccessible.
Unless... you either technologically smart enough to beat that geography lock.
I am.
Or you get involved with an offshore website. An offshore website.
I don't like that.
I don't like that either.
Or you go through a friend. Like I say, hey, gun.
Yeah, there's
why don't that. You, put 20 up for me if I win. You owe
right.
me $20 if I lose.
Right, right, right. I owe you $20. There's that. There's you know your local bookie.
Is that what that is? That you would become my bookie?
No.
I'm afraid of bookies from the stereotype that we got from movies.
Oh, dude, my bookie's a delightful man. he's gonna come on the show here in the future.
Oh wow, yeah.
He's awesome. He's elderly. He's older.
Oh, that's the best kind, isn't it?
Yeah, he told me he's never had to get violent. He's been doing this since like the 80s.
Wow. So yeah. What does a bookie do?
The bookie takes bets, brokers bets. They are the house. They're the casino.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they, but they are independent, like, or they work through a casino or something?
They're independent.
Oh.
They're independent.
So yeah, your bookie will not reveal his real name.
They work for themselves.
I see.
I don't know. Like my bookie's like all
so
about.
You're just, so he is a casino.
He's not trying to hide shit.
No, but so a bookie is a casino. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
A bookie's a bookie. Yeah, a bookie takes sports okay. bets usually.
And it's usually not. On the up and up, like that's not legal, or
it's not legal. Legal,
okay. Really, no, but it's just like you know, a bet among friends, like if you and
yeah,
I,
yeah, yeah, and then
a little more organized.
In 2020, we have like forms of technology like websites.
Mm-hmm.
So, like 15, 20 years ago, you had to physically call your bookie up,
right? Right,
like hey, I want the what's the line on Dallas, Minnesota. And they would tell you, and you had to like place all this shit, right? In fact, it was like that like 15 years ago. Now, most bookies will steer you towards a website that they have set up. The website doesn't actually, there's no payment, no monetary exchange. No financial transactions on the website.
Right. That's what keeps
website is basically just for like tracking shit.
Yeah. Okay.
Imagine like a very sophisticated version of Jason's fantasy golf website.
Right. So your bookie, being an older gentleman, probably doesn't have a website?
He does have a website.
Oh.
Yeah, he does.
Does it look like it was built by Angel Fire?
No, it's actually a pretty fucking, it's a pretty solid website. But it's like, he didn't build it himself. It's like a website that a lot of bookies would use.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got you. All right.
I'll share with you my login, and I'll let you go take a look around.
Oh, okay, I might place a bet. All right, no, I like Cincinnati money line.
I do too. And
I don't like the over under, so I'd stay away from that.
Right, I agree with you there. We're in 100% agreement. Cincinnati on the road, Washington football team, take Cincinnati money line to win that one. Next early game, Tennessee. Tennessee's an up-and-down team, taking on Baltimore, another up-and-down team. Baltimore is 6.5-point favorites over the visiting Tennessee Titans. The over-under on this game is 49. Jeff, what's your thoughts on Tennessee-Baltimore?
I'm taking the over.
I like that. I'm never gonna tell you not to take the over.
Yeah. Nope. But as for the game, 6.5. With these two unpredictable teams, I would not place a best bet on this game.
Okay, I'm gonna differ with you here. I'm all about Tennessee point plus 6.5. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is Tennessee can run the ball because they have Derrick Henry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a solid offensive line, and Ryan Tannehill comes in and does his thing when he needs to. Baltimore showed zero ability to stop the run on Sunday night when they took on the Patriots and Cam Newton. And Baltimore, something is not right with Baltimore right now. This is a big interdivision game. I feel as strongly Tennessee 6.5 this week. Yeah, this is probably one of my most confident.
Yeah, this one's got playoff implications.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know what? You've talked me into it, as well as I'm looking at Tennessee's overall points scored are higher than Baltimore's overall points scored mm-hmm. the whole season. So the logic there is that it's going to be a close game. Whoever wins is going to win by like 2 or 3 points.
Well, and that this also, there's an old gambling adage that the home team, by virtue of being the home team, gets anywhere from 1.5 to 3 points just mm-hmm. by virtue of being the home team, right?
Yep.
In the year 2020, with coronavirus and no fans in the stands, what happens to that home field advantage? How does that 1.5 to 3 point advantage still have legitimacy? It's a million-dollar question.
Yeah. So in this case, they're saying they're giving Tennessee 6.5, which yep. they're saying that Baltimore should really win by 3.5.
If you say that Baltimore, the Baltimore on a neutral field would probably be a 3.5 point favorite right here. But how many of these fields are neutral nowadays? How many of them have an advantage?
Yeah.
Because you can't have fans in the stands. To me, the way that I look at it is I go, if you're a well-coached team, if you're a rock-solid organization, whether you're playing at home or whether you have a good process and a good procedure playing on the road, it should not matter. And so that makes me that much more confident in Tennessee plus 6.5.
Yeah, Tennessee's scoring over 30 points a game. Last week was the first time they scored less than 20.
Right.
Now, Baltimore, on the other hand, because I look at it as points scored, right?
Mm-hmm. You can.
Baltimore, 24, 24, 30, 27, 31, 20. I mean, both of these teams pretty much, if you think of it as in terms of both teams are going to score the same. So then you take the points, especially 6.5. That's a big cushion. So you've talked me into taking Tennessee.
I feel most confident about this game of anything on the. Actually, I feel second most confident about this game.
Yeah, Cincinnati.
Well, that's a good one, too. That's a good one, too, but still not the one I'm most confident in. All right. The final early game we have not yet gotten to is our beloved New Orleans Saints at home taking on the Shitlanta Falcons. The Saints are a 5-point home favorite. This line is on the books now that the Saints quarterback situation is as resolved as it's going to appear going into this game. The over-under on this one is 51.5. People have talked the Drew Brees injury to death. I don't want to even talk about Drew Brees' injury anymore other than to say that I'm confident that Jameis can have success. I am so emotionally invested in this game as a Saints fan and as someone that hates the Falcons that I'm staying far, far away from it. However, I will say this. On the morning of the games, that's when player prop bets get published, right?
Oh, okay.
So morning of this game, a whole slew of individual player prop bets are going to pop up, and it's going to be things like, you know, Alvin Kamara over under 64.5 yards rushing, you know, Alvin Kamara over under 5.5 receptions, Jameis Winston over under 1.5 touchdowns. I'm not going to pick Atlanta or New Orleans or the money line or the over-under spread on this game. However, follow me on Taking the Over on Twitter, and I am going to publish a prop bet Sunday morning via my tweet. And hopefully by that point, we'll have already started moving forward in operation. Did I hit Bobby Hebert with a chicken wing? things should be moving along pretty well. Jeff, what's your thoughts on Atlanta, New Orleans this week? Big game.
I would never bet on the Saints, like on a game that the Saints were involved in. So, like you, I'm way too emotionally invested. I would say, based on the conditions, the news around the game with Drew Brees, Jameis Winston, the unknown factor, I don't think the 51 points is going to be achieved because I think the Saints defense is going to keep Atlanta to 3, maybe 7 points. And then
you're asking with you.
Jameis Winston and company to score 50 points or whatever, or, you know, 45 points. So I would also wait for prop bets on this game.
Yep. And like I said, I'm going to tweet out a prop bet Sunday morning. Maybe more than one, that one of those on this game here.
I do think, I'd be very curious on the Kamara touchdown prop. Whether it's like one, if it's 1.5, I'd take that all day.
Yeah, you're gonna see some cool stuff, and Kamara has typically been everything I've been putting down for him on prop bets has been coming out pretty well. Moving to our late Sunday afternoon games, New York Jets on the road taking on Los Angeles Chargers, 8.5-point spread to Los Angeles. 47-point over under. I want nothing to do with this game. Nope. You know, the fucking Jets are garbage. Pass on this one. Nope. Dallas is on the road taking on Minnesota. Minnesota 7.5-point favorites at home versus Dallas. Dallas coming off a bye week. Over under on this game is 48. Dallas showed a little bit of life with Garrett Gilbert of the AFL as their quarterback when they covered versus Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago. I don't like listening to Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, and they can kiss my ass. I am going to nope out on this game as well.
I'm tempted to take Dallas, but I'm sorry. Let me look at Minnesota real quick. What do we know about Minnesota? Aren't they kind of tailspinning?
Minnesota is currently they're currently 4-5, and you know it looks pretty likely that Green Bay is going to win the NFC North, but Minnesota is making that Minnesota push to get into the playoffs and cause some havoc. This is a very, very different team based on whether or not Dalvin Cook is healthy. They won Monday night against the Bears, and they covered, It was an ugly game. I believe it was a 19-13 outcome. They were something like 3.5 or 4.5 point favorites in the game. And it was the first primetime Monday night victory for Minnesota's quarterback in his career.
Yeah, this is just not a game to bet on. I don't like teams where they're inconsistent and or bad. Unless they're playing against a team that is consistent and bad, right? Mm-hmm. Like a Cincinnati Washington.
Yeah, it's hard to say what you're going to get here, you know. And I do this runs the risk of being, and I'm not sure why, but a big nationally prominent game and very, very, very interesting and peculiar.
Because it's America's team.
Well, very peculiar things happened in the officiating on those big national games too.
Yeah.
This next game, I feel so good about. One of my big picks of the week. The Miami Dolphins on the road taking on the Denver Broncos. Miami comes in as 3-point road favorites taking on the Denver Broncos. Jeff, I feel like these Dolphins have got big, big dolphin dicks and big dolphin balls. And they're out there with their big aggressive
laces out.
Yeah, dude, the Dolphins.
Dude, it's weird thinking of it, but I believe in Miami all of a sudden.
The Dolphins are a well-coached, complimentary football team. I've been riding with the Dolphins the last few weeks, and it's been a lot of success. Denver is not there. They got smoked by Vegas this week. Mm-hmm. Now, I mentioned earlier I was going to introduce a new concept to you this week, and that concept is called buying it down, right?
Ooh, okay.
And so right now, as I last looked, using William Hill as the book of choice, Dolphins are a 3-point favorite, right? I don't like 3-point lines. There's a big, 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 big difference between a 3-point line and a 2.5-point line for obvious reasons. So should you come across this line, and should this line be at 3 points, I want you to buy it down to 2.5. And what that means, Jeff, is let's say this line naturally is a 3-point line, and it's going to make the Dolphins -110 on a 3-point line. Buying that half point is going to move that -110 odds to something more like -120. Okay. So you're basically going to be giving up about a 10% return,
okay,
by virtue of buying that half a point. And I think it's a very, very, very important purchase in this case to buy that down a half point.
So you're giving Denver 2.5.
Correct.
And you're sacrificing 10%, which is it's a negligible amount for a higher return.
Well, better than a zero return. Yeah.
Right. So yeah. I like that. I learned that you taught me.
You learned that today.
Yeah. So if you buy it down, so like a $20 bet, instead of winning $19.50 or whatever, you might win $18.50 or something.
Yeah, on a $20 bet, if it went from 110 to 80%
return.
Something like that, yeah.
Instead of a 90% return, you get
80%. Correct.
But you're sure it's more of a sure thing. Not that, you know, I know there's
a big difference. 2.5 and 3 is a big difference.
Yeah.
Especially with a Miami team that's going to be on the road, that is scrappy, that plays big special teams. You know, they got a quarterback with a lot of heart, still only going to be making his fourth start as a professional.
Yeah. So, and buying things down, you buy them down in half point
increments. Point typically. Increments.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can sometimes move it. Usually, you can move it as much as about 1.5, and then beyond that, now you're starting to get into teaser territory, where you can move things 6, 6.5, 7 points. I also know of 10-point, 13-point teasers, but when you do a teaser, and you can move a line, let's say 7 points, you have to do it across at least 2 games, in order to make that work.
Okay. Then I like that, and I would like to also buy it down.
Buy it down.
There you go.
We're rolling with the Dolphins. Like I said, big nasty, big. Just I'm just picturing just fucking mean Dolphins, fierce. I'm picturing Dolphins with like Trojan helmets on and swords. They're just.
It feels like the '80s all over again.
I went to a Dolphin show this weekend with my child, and I'm picturing like just the sweet Dolphin just turning into a motherfucker. You know. It's Sunday night game. Kansas City, 7-point favorites. Kansas City, 7-point favorites on the road in the Death Star, taking on Las Vegas. Vegas has dealt Kansas City their only loss of the week, or I'm sorry, of the season. The over-under on this game is 56.5. This is your Sunday night game. I personally, again, I'm staying away from this one. But I do want to find a nice, juicy prop bet to place and then tweet to all the pretty people who follow at Taking the Over on Twitter. I've been seeing a lot of prop bets and have been having success with a lot of prop bets on things like Travis Kelce receptions. So you might get a prop bet that says like Travis Kelce over under 5.5 receptions. And it just seems like he breaks it every week. That's probably the prop bet that I'll end up landing on Sunday night. Jeff, do you have any special thoughts on Kansas City trying to avenge their only loss of the year against Las Vegas?
I don't know how the Raiders scored 40 points against Kansas City the first time they played.
Well, they sure did. I know, it's crazy.
That whole game, it was a 62-point total. But I don't see the Raiders doing that again. They're too inconsistent. I would stay away from this as well. Gotcha. Not interested in this game.
Not interested in that one. Well, that's going to bring us to Monday night. And Monday night football, you've got the Los Angeles Rams taking on the Tampa Bay Tom Brady's. And the Brady's are 3-point home favorites over the Los Angeles Rams. The over-under on this game is 47.5. I so much to say about this. But I want to try and keep it short because I don't know. This league, it just feels like this league, it gets so biased, you know, and everyone wants to see Tom Brady do well. And they've beaten almost everybody that they've played, not named New Orleans. but it feels like the Rams can't get any respect. All the Rams do is go out and beat good teams every week, and they do it with a defense that has a couple of the best individual players on the NFL.
It's funny you say that because, yeah, the Rams, like, they had a slow start, right?
They did have a slow start.
But they've put it all together, like, kind of like the Saints had a slow start.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why the Saints might not be getting the kind of respect either. The Rams aren't getting the respect. However, Tampa Bay and Tom Brady have been slaying. Aside from the Saints games and one other, I think, what, the Raiders or somebody? I forget.
They didn't do so well against the Giants. They barely beat the Giants. The scary thing about Tampa, and again, this is just conspiracy theory, tinfoil hat, Billy Gunn here. Tampa Tom, nationally televised game. Dude, you're going to see so many third down incompletion. 3.5 seconds later, here comes a flag. You know, like, it's just, there's clearly an agenda here, and that agenda is to prop this team up, you know, and if you're going to bet on this game, which, again, I think the Rams are a better team.
Can I buy it down?
You can do anything you want. Yeah, you could always buy it down. You could buy it from 3 to 2.5, or yeah, you could do that.
I mean, something like this, because Tampa is, granted, it's COVID, home field advantage, whatever. Tom Brady, I do think Tampa's gonna win, and it's also kind of like the Saints' luck, right? We're gonna win. We need to. I want us to have a full game separation between us, but it's just not gonna happen because that's just the way life works as a Saints fan. Tampa's gonna, as long as we keep winning, Tampa's gonna keep winning. So we're gonna be, you know, 8-2. They're gonna be 8-3. So Tampa's gonna win this game. I want to buy it down though to feel better about it. So okay. I would, and I'm willing to sacrifice 10% on that.
There you go. Buy it down to like 2.5.
Yep.
If I were to get involved in this one, I mean, I don't want to rip what remaining hair I have out of my head at the team that I wager on. getting fucked over by the officials, you know, promoting a pro Tom Brady agenda.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I'm taking Tampa.
Yeah, exactly. If I'm going to put money on this, I would roll with Tampa. My official picks of the week, just to recap, over 57.5 with Arizona and Seattle. Cincinnati money line versus the Washington football team. Tennessee +6.5 on the road at Baltimore. We're going to look for a prop bet in the Atlanta New Orleans game. I am ride or die with the big nasty Dolphins at
Do
minus
you have
two.
A dorsal fin?
That's right. I feel it's like 300. Like they should redo 300 with aquatic mammals. Yeah. Buying that down to 2.5. Probably going to find a nice prop bet on KC Vegas involving Travis Kelce and staying away from the Rams in Tampa just because of NFL officials and the associated.
I'm taking the over in that Tampa game.
Oh, that's actually okay. 47.5.
Rams offense, Tampa offense. I'll take that. Even though Tampa's defense, but still.
Yeah, Tampa's defense isn't so good. They've given up a lot of points.
Yeah. So yeah, take the over on that.
And Rams have had a lot of unders.
If the Dolphins got Jason Momoa to get on their sideline to hype him up in his full Aquaman gear.
Is that Aquaman? Yeah.
Yeah. Would you throw a chicken wing at that?
No. Jason Momoa. Number one, Jason Momoa is probably sober. You know, he's of his senses, and he could just like come over and politely kick my ass.
Right.
Bobby Hebert back then probably wasn't capable of that.
Scrappy
game. And again, I guess I'm not trying to discourage. I'm not trying to disparage Bobby Hebert.
Yeah, we just want to know. We just want to.
We want conclusive answers as to Bobby Hebert. This is your personal appeal from the Mississippi hippie Billy Gunn. Did I hit you with a chicken wing in the head 20 years ago?
Oh, and now it's on. And I would just say hit. I mean, it might not hit him in the head. It might hit him in the leg.
I feel like I hit him in the head. I feel like I got him in the back of the head.
The more we recall the story, the more I feel like you did hit him.
Oh, I feel like I hit him for sure.
I feel like, because I almost even remember, like, because I was standing next to you.
Yep.
Through the wing, and I remember like us reacting like giggly, laughy in our drunkenness. You did it. Like, and you might have even thrown like two.
Oh, I definitely threw more than one. I'm not saying that I hit him with the only one that I threw. I probably took multiple attempts to hit him.
And if he wasn't the one to turn around, I know a player did. Somebody turned around, because I remember us like I remember the feeling and the reaction of oh shit, like, you know, like,
yeah,
we've been caught.
We've been caught throwing chicken wings.
Yeah. I also remember trying to get you to stop. Now, whether that's because it was like, no, don't do it because Bobby's gonna be upset with us, or like you're wasting all the wings we want to eat.
I've got all these wings that are just in my pockets for us to eat.
I remember this. I remember.
Jeff, man, look, thanks for coming on today. I can tell I can hear the Coheed and Cambria in the background. Have you noticed there's a couple little things that are consistent on the show week to week? I always like to end the show with a Coheed and Cambria song.
If I knew that was, I would recognize that.
Oh, they're so much fun
to listen to
the rock band. Yeah, you're a sci-fi nerd.
Yeah.
They're a rock band, and all of their albums are concept albums that tell the story of this sci-fi space battle a la Star Wars. And they've now done 8 different albums that advance the storyline.
I'm 100% you want to listen to this while I work.
That might be something you'd be interested in, right?
Yep. 100%.
So I can tell from the Coheed and Cambria playing that our time is drawing to an end. Thank you so much for coming on the show, man. Thank you so much for the platform to do this. I hope that we can continue to have some success. I hope we can maybe, you know, get a little resolution to this Bobby Hebert chicken wing thing. Do you have any final thoughts for us?
I would just say go Saints. I you know, my final thought, not betting related, it is Saints related. You talked about that. I do believe that Jameis Winston can be, I'm not saying he will be, but I believe he can be the successor. Now, you know, he'll play these games. Drew Brees will come and finish it, win the Super Bowl. Next year, you know, give Jameis the full five games before you make a judgment on that, though.
I'm with
you. Don't judge it on he hasn't played yet. Don't judge it on everybody who plays for Bruce Arians in their first year throws for a shit ton of interceptions. So that's out. Jameis Winston played for Tampa Bay. He was mediocre when he was there, or maybe, and there were times where he was good, mm-hmm. maybe great. He's now playing for Sean Payton, the greatest quarterback-friendly coach in the NFL. He's playing with Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, a great offensive line. There's no reason, like the only reason Jameis won't work out is if Jameis himself is incapable of doing it. And Jameis, you'll know that after five games.
He threw for over 5,000 yards last year.
Yeah, the guy's got the ability. And if with Sean Payton and this team around him, guys, we could... I'm an optimist, right? I'm going to be cautiously optimistic in thinking that this might be one of those kind of like Favre to Rodgers scenarios that or Montana to Young, you know, or what Manning to Luck was supposed to be. I think this could be that, and we've dreamed of having that. Like, that's that thing that, you know, we say we're never going to get. I'm not saying Jameis is going to be as good as Brees. I'm not saying he's going to be one of the greatest in the NFL, but I'm going to say that we could be looking at another 10 years of relevance, which is all
he's
I
very
want.
Very talented. I was a little bit unimpressed with the signing of bringing him in. Once I saw the details of the contract, I completely understood. I am going to give grace. Hey, man. Who doesn't love crab legs?
You know what?
Who doesn't love beautiful college co-eds and crab legs? Right? Let the first among us who doesn't love crab legs and beautiful drunken women cast the first crab leg.
The first shell.
Let them eat the first L.
That's right. I can't believe we ridiculed that man for eating a W all these years, and now it's
like my favorite thing.
I hate it because, you know what? I chastised people 2 weeks ago on the episode of the Dome Patrol podcast for embracing that. But the more I watch it, and if he keeps winning, I could become a hypocrite, a proud hypocrite of eating the W.
I want to buy clothing. I want to buy clothing that has eating the W on it.
The way he popped into the video while Drew Brees was doing the interview and took a bite out of that W, I get it, fans.
He's a happy guy. Like, he's a happy kid.
Like that he was.
He's like, he's childlike.
Yeah.
He's childlike with his enthusiasm. I mean,
he's like the dad, right?
I'm going to give the guy a shot. Like, how can you hate on the guy? Look, he's a saint. And we have an obligation to all saints, just like we did Bobby Aber, just like we offered Bobby Aber grace and forgiveness when he returned from Atlanta and Atlanta Broadcasting. I have grace and forgiveness for Jameson. He's got a childlike enthusiasm. He's got a hell of an arm. And we're going to beat the horrible, nasty, hated Falcons
old coach
this week. Couple of pitches, Raheem Morris and Dirk Cutter.
Yeah, so there you have it. Yeah, I love it. I am going in with a great, positive, and fun attitude.
Excellent. Well, I am too. Well, look, folks, thanks again for listening. This has been another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, part of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, where you can subscribe to one feed and catch multiple shows. Come back and see us next week. Jeff, say goodbye to all the beautiful people.
Bye-bye, donkeys.
And we will see you on the other side. What may call the vision that bears the gay out the night.